Hey, everybody.
Hi, welcome.
How are you today?
I'm doing very well. How are y'all doing?
Good. How was your morning?
Great. Your morning's been great.
Did you comb your mustache?
I shook it.
No. Just grows this way perfectly. And that's the end of our session. Bye, everybody. Just kidding. Having fun at camp?
Yeah.
Getting less than enough sleep?
Yeah.
No. Getting enough sleep?
Yeah.
Welcome. We are. Over there is Luke. And that is Spencer.
Hi.
Luke plays bass and keyboard, primarily bass. Spencer plays drums.
Primarily
drums. Nikki here plays guitar. This is Nick.
Yes.
He plays saxophone and keyboard as well.
That's so cool.
Baritone Barry Sax. That's what that is. My name is Brad. I have a guitar. So, welcome. We're going to talk about... Okay. So there's a couple thoughts that we have to share, but mostly... If you guys have questions and thoughts, this is the time for us to talk to each other. If you have questions about... Well, a lot of people have questions about how we became a band, so I'll start with that. And then if you have any other questions about worship, what it's like to write worship music or play worship music or anything else that you might think of...
We'll do the band name, too.
We'll do that. Oh, yeah. We'll do the band name as well. The Eagle and Child is a pub in...
Oxford,
which is in England. Last group said Canada. Yes, I like this group.
I love
mostly
it.
Girls. That's probably why. Girls are smarter. So you'll admit it soon. So the Eagle and Child is a place that is it's a pub. It's famous for a group of people hanging out there, talking about faith and life and culture and philosophy. That is a group of people called the Inklings, and two members of that group were C.S. Lewis and J.R.R. Tolkien. So that's like a cool, interesting group of people, right? I love those people because they're people of faith, Christians, who made art that changed culture, you know? So I love that. People that are deep thinkers, that are thoughtful Christians, that are trying to push the faith forward in a thoughtful way. It's amazing.
Oh, no, I don't do bees.
We don't do bees.
There's
all right. Oh, that was an ant.
No, okay.
Sorry.
I
don't do bees either. So that is the name of the pub where the Inklings would hang out is called the Eagle and Child. So that's why we picked that name. We also like that it's like, I guess that's a secular environment where people were there talking about faith and life and how those things work together. I like that integration. So, and then our band, we came together. These three guys used to be in a band called Something Like Silas, which changed their name to Future of Forestry. Something Like Silas, a long time ago, played here for like 3 summers in a row.
I was just him at that time.
Nick was in that band. Luke worked in the snack shop.
2003.
Any of you born? 2003. Who was born in 2003? Just kidding. Right. And then...
Yeah, that's the summer I met Nick, and we ended up hanging out a lot. And friends forever.
Friends are friends forever.
Yep. I also met my wife that summer, and we've been married for 12 years now.
Oh,
wow. So,
yeah.
Crazy, right?
I met all of them when I was playing in a band with somebody else, and we played with Future Forestry. And I was like, I love that drummer. He's amazing. I met these guys, and they were awesome. So then, a few years later, Nick and Luke and I got like hired to play with another band, like a pop punk band.
Whoa.
Yeah, pretty cool, right? Nick hates punk music. But he didn't act like it at the time.
Yeah.
So we played a show in Arizona. We're from San Diego. So the three of us drove out to Arizona together. And we're talking about worship music, and how at the time it wasn't, it left something to be desired creatively. So we like love all this music that would be considered secular music that we really resonate with the creativity of, and then we love like the content and the truth that's in worship music, but maybe not necessarily like resonate with the creativity of it. So nowadays with Bethel and John Mark McMillan and Hillsong, there's more creative worship music, but at the time we were like, what the heck, we want to make some music that sounds like music that we like with the content and richness of worship music. Luke?
That was like 8 years ago.
That was like 8 years ago.
And then the Eagle and Child as a band started about 5 or 6 years ago. And then we've just been like continuing to develop ourselves, and we really weren't sure what it was still at that point. We were still writing, trying to write original stuff, doing covers, like the worship covers that we do. And all the while we wanted Spence to be in our band, but he was unavailable because he was playing with much better musicians than us. And then the stars aligned and we tricked him into joining our band. So now that's been 3-4 years now?
3.5 years.
And happily ever after.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Spencer's the greatest drummer ever. Do you guys know that? Anyone play drums? Yeah.
But does anyone know that Brad is an excellent
drummer? We're going to compliment each other for 30
no, it's
more
true.
Minutes.
He's
I am not a good drummer.
Do you consider yourself a boy band?
Do we consider ourselves a boy band? No, because...
Technically speaking, we are a band of men.
Yeah, we stopped being boys probably 20 years ago because we're old. Yeah. And we don't do synchronized dancing.
Dude, that'd be so cool.
It would be cool. I don't know that it might be distracting from like worship time, but we're open to it. We'll see. Yeah. Thoughts about worship, thoughts about being in band, questions, anything. What do you
musicians.
Have? What's in your brain? Yeah.
How do you get the inspiration for the songs you write?
How do we get the inspirato for the songs you write? So, cool thing about, there's many cool things about God. And I think, one thing that sort of, from our early conversation about what we wanted to do musically and as a band, we kind of wanted to, there's a certain set of, like, words that are very common in the church. It would be called Christianese, if you've heard that, which is, in fact, Christianese, if you, whatever. The word is Christianese. So, but what that means is just words that are, like, commonly used in the church that maybe aren't used outside of the church. So, like, ways that you would express something outside of the church, you would express that differently inside the church. So, something that we wanted to do lyrically is sort of, like, blur that, like, make that a little bit less of a thing. Like, there's ways to explain the goodness of God without using the word grace, which is an amazing word and an amazing concept. But there's ways to explain that. There's other ways to explain it too, you know? So I'm fascinated by that type of thing. Like how can I explain the goodness and strength and faithfulness of God in new ways? So like
using your own words.
Using my
using
own
words that you would say, not words that you've heard other people say.
Right. So yeah, so sometimes ideas for songs comes from different things I've read or like sort of different mental pictures that I think maybe are like gifts from God that are just like, there's an idea about me that is a interesting concept. And so, like, we have a song called Bottomless, which is a says, you're a God of heavenly size, with no ending and with no start, and you see with endless eyes, and you have a bottomless heart. So I had this idea that God has these, like, eyes that see eternally, and eyes that see, like, all things, so endless eyes. I liked that alliteration as well. Nerds. And bottomless heart. And so that was just a concept that sort of came to me, and then the song came from out of that. Did that answer anything you were asking?
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. How do we write music? Yeah, so most of the lyrics are from me, and then the music is a couple different ways. So sometimes I'll have an idea and I'll, like, make a demo of it on my computer, and then we'll sort of take it and make it our own. Sometimes Nick has deep emotions, and it's amazing. And he
sometimes it annoys Brad because there's an overwhelming amount of emotions.
I try to ignore my emotions in an unhealthy way. Anybody else? Yeah. Oh, it's okay. So with one of our songs called Fault Lines, I was like, what if we have, this is an idea for a song where God sees each of us in this, like, cherished way. So this person that lives under a bridge that nobody knows about, God is like, yes, I love you, and sees them in a way that it, as special as anybody else, you know, everybody else. And so Nick was like, I said, what about that concept? And Nick had his guitar and was like, and then wrote a song immediately in the moment. And it was amazing. It was really amazing. I love that. And I want to do that more. So there's sometimes where we do that, sometimes where we'll just start with a concept, and then Nick will emotion into his guitar. Emote, that's the right word. And sometimes we'll just kind of jam and come up with ideas we like the music of, and then see what that music is kind of, the vibe of that music might be expressing, and then come up with words to match that.
I think ultimately, just try stuff. If you're a songwriter, just try different things, always change it. Yeah.
Yes. Have we used personal experiences to write songs? I'd say, like, a huge part of my relationship with God is based on his interactions with my personal experiences, you know? So, like, in a way, all of our songs are involving my personal experience with God. And then there's other pieces to that. So the Bible and other people's experiences with God. So that will like help me know more about how God works. Even if I haven't experienced it, I know God works through other people's experiences, right? So that's kind of, does that make sense? That was the shortest answer ever. Let's hear it from me. Just kidding. There was a hand over here. Key factors in creating a healthy worship environment. For that, ladies and gentlemen, Nick Mabry.
Do you mean in terms of, like, a corporate, like, with everybody, or do you mean, like, within a team?
I would say experience for, like,
the producer. Yeah, okay, awesome. So this is, I'm going to share something with you that's changed my life, and it's kind of dorky at first, but not once you get past the dorky part. There's this old acronym, and I don't normally like acronyms, it's called ACTS, Adoration, Confession, Thanksgiving, Supplication. So basically, like, here's why it changed my life. Me as a person, I have a tendency to get really stuck on whatever I'm thinking about, whatever I'm feeling about, whatever experiences I've had, and I kind of can get this drape around my eyes, and I'm just kind of get consumed with that. And so when I go to pray, I'll get stuck asking about those things, and I'll actually have a really hard time connecting with God. So somebody shared this acronym with me, and basically what it's saying is, hey, rather than starting with your stuff, whatever it is, first pause and spend some time talking to God about who he is. And I'm like, that seems really weird. God already knows who he is. Why would I do that? That's really weird. Okay, I'll try it, you know? And so then I start doing it, and I realized all of a sudden, I'd say, God, you are good. And then God would go, yes, I am. And I'd be like, whoa. Okay, now you're telling me that you're good after I told you. And so I'd start just spending some time talking with him about who he was. And all of a sudden, God began to show himself to me in a way that I had never experienced before. And it was like, wow, this is awesome. So it became something that, like, in a sense, was like something I committed myself to doing most often when I prayed. So I'd do that, and I'd spend some time there. And then after a good while, then I'd start to talk about whatever's happening. But I'd find out that maybe what I was wanting to talk about, like, it would shift. And maybe God would be like, oh, actually, let's talk about this other thing that, you know, I want to bring you freedom from. So then all of a sudden, like, I started connecting and relating to God in a way that I never had before. But I would go to that confession piece where I'd basically name to God something that's going on, and then he would bring me freedom from it because I would see who he really is. And then I'd get all this amazing sense of freedom from things that I felt bogged down by. And then I'd turn around and I'd do the Thanksgiving piece. And then all of a sudden I'm getting really close to God because I'm experiencing freedom, more of who he is. So then when we start, when it comes to like leading worship, like that's the principle that we use to plan the worship sets that we do. It's like, rather like than starting with this thing over here, we're just going to first start with like rallying together, like, who is God? Okay, I might be in this place, but regardless of where I am, this is who God is, and that doesn't change. And then that just completely changes the whole dynamic. And then the other part of that is having space to actually name to God what's going on. We live in a world right now, more so than ever, where we just avoid like crazy. We're just let's think about something else. Let's not actually acknowledge what's really going on. And the reason why the world does that is because there's no way for the world to find relief from it. But we have a way to find relief from it that nobody else has, that's really powerful. And so when you actually become present, it might be painful, but then you can actually receive relief from that pain that you have. So that's in a sense what drives everything that we do. And then you come back after that and you spend more time just becoming aware of things that are so much bigger than we are. So like that's the kind of the core of what we, when we plan worship times, what drives it. Does that make sense?
Acts.
All right.
A-C-T-S.
There's a question in the back.
Can you just repeat what it means again?
Adoration. So start with thinking about who God is, talking to God about who he is, realizing how much bigger he is than we realize, realizing that he doesn't change, that his love for us does not change, that that he's made everything around us. I could stare at this tree, and if I actually stare at it and think about it, realize that it's existed way before I was born, and that there's just incredible things about that. And I go, wow, who thought of that? You know, spending time doing things like that. Adoration, confession. In other words, so we do confession in our church, and what we talk about is that word has a negative rap. It sounds like you're supposed to beat yourself up, like, I've done something wrong, I'm going to get really sad, and just, you know, that's not what confession is. The point of confession is to receive freedom from the things that you're tied down to. So you name them to God, and then you receive the freedom that he has for you. And so we do confession. Thanksgiving is going back around and then spending time being like talking to God and saying, thank you for all these really amazing things that you've given me. Maybe it's this friend that I have, or maybe, you know, anything at all, you know. It could be something small, something big. Practice it. And then the last thing is you finally, at the very end, after all that, then you ask for stuff. Supplication means making a request. So then you finally say, hey, God, I'm having this going on. I need your help in this, or, you know, I need a car or whatever it is, you know. So adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication.
Boom. You in the back? Yeah.
How has being involved with worship as a band affected our relationship with God?
In a positive way.
In a positive way, for sure. For me, it's made the worship experience a more... you just have more time to... I've had to, when you lead people in it, you have to know why you're doing things more than when you're just engaging in it. So I love, you know, I think growing up I didn't understand like people raising their hands, or didn't understand a lot of the why. And so as we've led, I've wanted to know that. And so so that's part of our responsibility, is to communicate that. Why are we doing this? And then also to know it too. So that's been really... it's just helped me learn more about God and about who He is and about how our relationship and like submission to Him like works. Does that make sense? Anybody else?
I love friendship. Like, I love friendship. Friendship is an amazing thing. When you're around other people, your perspective changes and you get a larger view of life. And you get support when you need it, and you get the opportunity when you have a friend who needs support, being able to support them. So I feel like that's kind of like what being in a worship band is. It's these guys are like my closest friends, and so we get to be like a team of people doing something that we care a lot about, and then being really good friends. And there's nothing like that. So I think the friendship aspect is completely changed my life.
How do you prepare yourself when you're about to go and lead others in worship? How do you prepare yourself spiritually, not just to stand up there worshiping, but to lead others in worship, and especially on days that have been really rough, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there's definitely times where I think there have been points in my life where worship is a emotional experience, and then there's times where I feel pretty numb and then still have to kind of like lead people in it. And so the trick is to not pretend to do something, but to be genuine with that and ask God to meet you in that. And then, so I don't know if that is what you're asking about.
Or what you say about worship is like an outward expression to like get your insides to
right.
Worship.
Awaken a spirit of gratitude.
Yeah, awaken a spirit of gratitude. Like what Brad talks about with like our posture. So if we're not necessarily feeling it, we'll use that to like urge ourselves to enter into worship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or sometimes, like, I think I've used this analogy, and sometimes it confuses people. Are you ready to be confused? Maybe. Maybe not. I think, like, one of the things that worship is we bring whatever our day is like, however we're feeling, and we match it up with... We hold it up to what the like worship lyrics are, the truth about God, about how He works with like in our lives. And so maybe if we're not feeling like He does and we're trying to sing that He does, you have to like, that's a challenge to work out, right? So my analogy is, if like, have you ever played with Play-Doh and you push it through a mold, and then what comes out is something else, you know, the mold. So like the lyrics are the mold, and your day is Play-Doh. You push it through,
to find out what's true. All right. I'm working on it. So to find out what's, push it through to find out what's true. So we have a few minutes left. I want to say a couple things. One, tomorrow at free time at 1:30, we said that we would do this today to a few people, but we aren't doing it today. We're doing it tomorrow at 1:30 in the chapel. If you want to talk about gear and guitars and stuff like that, come to the chapel at 1:30. There's church time today during free time, so go to that. Cool. And then also something that, what's my time?
You got time. You're fine.
Worship is so much more than a musical genre. Worship is so much more than like a Sunday, three songs. So how do we, have you heard people say like, we want to like worship with our lives, or like, if you're like playing sports, do it for God. Like there's this idea of worship as a lifestyle. And, so that's something that as we lead in music, like worship through music, we want to have that help facilitate worship as a lifestyle. And so as we like learn to be grateful, like, here's my 2 points. Ready? Gratitude. Say gratitude.
Gratitude.
And peace.
Peace.
So what we should be, those are the two things that I think if I were to oversimplify what a worshipful lifestyle is carrying those two things. Where you're grateful for the goodness of God and his blessings in your life, gratitude, and you see his work. You're like looking for his work in your life, looking for his work in your friends' lives, gratitude. And then the other one is peace, where you are carrying the gravity of his like love for you and his sacrifice for you. What God has done is conquered the thing that scares us the most, which is death. What? So that should be giving us a deep sense of peace. As we navigate things that are confusing through life, we know that God who created all things is good. The God who designed life understands what's going on when we don't understand what's going on and is good. So we should be carrying as a worshipful lifestyle if you're carrying those two things. Gratitude. Say gratitude.
Gratitude.
And peace.
Peace.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Does it make sense?
Yes.
Okay. Cool. Any questions about that? We need to go in a few minutes to run over to play. So,
oh yeah.
We will do that. So any final thoughts, questions, comments, criticisms? Just kidding. Yes. Oh, how do you write a worship song? That's a good question. You don't want to hear it? Just kidding. How do you write a worship song? It's time.
You have a couple minutes. You have like 3 minutes.
Something that I think is a great practice for all of us is to be able to say, to be able to communicate God, right? And that's like an intimidating thing because you're like, what if I'm communicating it and somebody doesn't like the idea of God and it's going to be like, you're crazy or whatever. There's all this fear talking to like people who don't believe in God and stuff. But it's just a great practice. So, I mean, like, I would say first, conversations with people, with other believers about God. That's, like, something that is, like, so helpful, so healthy, and, like, just talk to people. Read the Bible. Read other things that are inspiring from, like, good Christian thinkers and inspiring people. And then, and then try to use like your words to express that. I think that is like, to me, that's a need. That's, if you guys know John Mark McMillan, he uses very strange words. The next song we're gonna play is written by him. And well, there's a song that he has called Skeleton Bones, and it starts off with the words, "Peel back my ribs again and stand inside of my chest," which is like, bleh. That's a horrible image, but he's inviting God to like break through into his heart, right? So that's like a kind of a gross image and a vibrant one. Instead of like a more common phrase, which is like, Jesus, come into my heart. There's like just something more vibrant about that. So I would just encourage you to just think of ways to express God that are meaningful to you. That's the secret, I would say. Does that answer any of it? Is that okay?
And the Psalms are a good reference point too. It's 150 songs right there.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to pray for us. God, we thank you so much for the conversations that have been started here. And I pray that rather than just walking away kind of satisfied, that you would just kind of stir our hearts and awaken a greater desire in us, Lord. A greater desire for you and a greater desire to know how to love you and how to love and how to see you in each other and around us, Lord. Would you just make us more aware of what you're doing in our lives? And help us to receive your love. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah.